Hello and welcome back to your one and only Source Summer Fridays edition. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and we're going to be talking about Big Brother. We're going to be talking about the In the City reunion. We're going to be talking about the reverse love spell that has absolutely ravaged the Bravo community this week. And of course, we're just going to, to use a phrase Phoebe adores, shoot the shit. Oh, she's cringing. She's cringing. I have two things to say, though, before we start. The first thing is, well, I have three things to say. The first thing is we got a really, really, really nice review on our podcast.
I knew that what you were going to say was going to go towards a review, but sorry, I hate to say it. I have PTSD and I'm shell-shocked from the last one that we got that you brought up on the podcast. So I was a little bit nervous.
Okay.
We got
a really, really nice one. And anyway, I just want to say thank you. And it's really sweet. So it just really made my day. Anyway, the next thing I want to say is, like, I'm having a moment with theater. Okay, like a good one. We opened Frozen tonight and I am just like,
that's why I said that Megan Hilty thing in the group chat.
I know, dude. I know. Last night we had our preview and mom and Anthony's mom and Anthony and Kelly came, and it's just like, God, it is so nice to see your work through someone else's eyes, you know, because in rehearsals, it can feel so like daunting and not ready and like whatever. And there's also a level of like, I don't have control really because I'm not the one doing it. So I don't know. It's just like a weird thing. It's like a different kind of nerves that I feel. And it was just so like, it was such a reminder of like, okay, like chill the hell out. And also just remember that like, no matter what, like the kids just had such a good, like watching them bow tonight, I like was welling up. Like it was just so, they were so happy and proud. And like, it just, oh, it's awesome. And then like, it was so great because I was at Frozen and then during intermission, I walked like two steps out of the theater to the barn and Big Fish rehearsal was happening and I'm choreographing that and they were like doing music rehearsal and I got to just like listen and then go back to Frozen and then go back to Big Fish and like, that's going to be like my whole weekend and I'm just loving it. I just love theater and I love making stuff and I just feel so inspired and it's so fun to meet all the kids' parents and I got some really great cast gifts, you guys. I got a delicious loaf of bread from this amazing bakery with the sweetest note. One kid brought squishies for everyone in the cast, including, of course, us. Yeah, it was blue with like snowflakes. They had like custom cookies made, a Christmas ornament, like all kind. I mean, the kids are getting creative.
I have two things to say. One is about theater, but I'm just going to say this first. I do have notes for the Neato creators.
Okay, well, let's hear them.
One is, we agree on this one. I want them to figure out how to create Neato without having that little
thing. It's umbilical cord.
Yes.
Cord.
It's like the
is
belly
it
button of the Neato.
Or umbilical? It's umbilical.
Yeah, but it's like, well, the belly button.
For some people, it might be umbilical. But for moi. Oh, wait, I just lied. I actually have four things to talk about, not three. Keep going.
But I want that to be gone.
It's honestly, okay, I'll say it. It's belly button or nipple.
Yeah, and I have to say, I also want the brand name to be off of it.
Well, I don't care about that because
here's
like
my favorite
there
feeling.
Are knockoffs out there and it's not the same.
My favorite feeling when I'm using my Neato and it's obstructed by both of those aspects of it,
mm-hmm,
is when I take my, and I just am squishing the sides that don't have anything on them. And yeah, also, like, it's not, because if I do it with the side that has the brand on it, it doesn't feel the same. And if I use the side that has the belly button on it, it doesn't feel the same. It has to be those two sides with nothing on it.
Okay.
And even that is obstructed a bit by the belly button. But that's the feeling that I want when I'm not fully squishing.
I'm gonna offer
it,
you a solution.
But
for
I'm
this.
Just going like this.
Because right now you have the mini one. I think you need to get a big one, like my size, because it's more surface area without that stuff.
I'm going to try it, but here's
like, my
worry.
The smaller one, when you squeeze it, like, you feel everything, but the bigger one, you can totally miss it.
I've thought about it, and I am going to try it, but my worry is that it's not going to have the same surface tension, which is also a part of the feeling.
It does.
No. I mean, I like that it's like the size of my fingerprint.
Okay, well, and that's
it.
You know what I mean? We have different sizes for different things. And honestly, Phoebe, I'm going to say it, you sound really picky and ungrateful, because needles are actually hard to get your hands on. And you're acting like someone who is kind of taking it for granted.
Anyway, so that's what I wanted to say about Nido. But re-theater is that tomorrow I am seeing Hadestown in theaters.
I am so jealous. I've never seen it, actually. And, like, I'm going to actually be tarred and feathered in the town square in La Piazza. La Piazza.
My face just dropped. Are you about to say something insidious about it?
Yeah, like, there are a couple songs I really like on the soundtrack, but, like, I've listened to the soundtrack through a few times, and it's not, like, rocking my world. I know that that's an unpopular opinion, and I wish I didn't have it. Because
as long as,
like,
you know that.
It's deeply mortifying to admit. It's humiliating, and I know that, like, and maybe I just have terrible taste, you know what I mean? Like, I'll say it, number one on my Spotify Wrapped for, like, 3 years was Revolting Children from Matilda the Musical. So, like,
hey, and this is a safe space.
Which also,
for that.
Hey, sorry, not knocking that.
Because
R-E-V-O-L-T-I-N-G.
That was one of my, that's probably, I think that's in my playlist of most played songs on Spotify in my
like
whole history.
S-P-L, how we like, if another one was as wrong is,
like,
right.
That's
everyone, N-O-R-T-Y.
And
they're a little bit naughty.
And I still believe there's a version out there of that song that is not the version that is on Spotify right now. Because, okay, fine, I'll say it. That was one of the songs I used to dance to in the basement.
Well, and Phoebe,
I have that
now I feel like I understand you way better.
And I have that song committed to memory. And
good.
The version that is on Spotify right now has different riffs than the version that I remember.
Okay, well, I'll give it a listen.
No, we've had this conversation on pod before, and you don't agree with me. But
okay,
I know
well, I'm
it
probably
in my
right.
Heart. I know it in my heart.
I mean, what was different
Caroline,
about
I
it?
I used to come home from school every day and go downstairs and dance to it.
Okay, but, like, I've sung to it and choreographed to it. So, like, I probably would know better than you, genius.
Caroline, that's newsflash genius. That's what I was doing in the basement, was choreographing and singing to it.
I mean, I think we have different definitions of choreographing, but sure. No, sure. And maybe
I'm sure you think
we
do.
Sure.
I'm sure you think we do, but that's what I was doing down there. I did the same dance every day. I had my dance that I did to the song.
Well, show us then.
I mean, no, but
it's giving, hey, Phoebe, it's giving tall tale. It's giving liar, no. Unless you show me.
Okay, the proof is in the pudding of the sweat on my body when I would reemerge from the basement.
Well, I don't really remember, so remind me. She's thinking about it.
Anyway.
It's written all over her face.
All
she,
I'm saying, there,
she,
the,
oh my God, she wants, she's going to do it. She's going to do
vocal,
it.
The lead vocal.
Do you
vocal.
Still remember the choreography? Just answer the question.
If I were to hear my
it's
version
a yes or no
song,
question. I'm being like the government right now. It's just answer the question, yes or no.
I'm being like the government. Yes, there are certain songs that I used to dance to in that period of my life that I would remember how I
when
did
she,
my dance.
The period of her life where she was a, say it with me, dancer. Yeah. How's your tap, by the way? Do you want to come be in White Christmas?
No,
guys,
I've
wait.
Never been a tapper.
I just remembered I'm going to be getting my beautiful tap shoes at some point.
But
they take 12 to 16 weeks
lead,
to make, but
the lead vocalist in that Revolting Children version that I remember was not as feminine sounding as
okay.
The one in the current version on Spotify. Yeah, that's different, but then also there's a riff in the very end. The kid that sings over everything mm-hmm. in the last chorus.
Yeah, Bruce. It's Bruce.
It's yes, but it sounds different now than it did. So much, and
well,
it's not even just that the voice sounds different. The notes and the rhythms that they're doing
it.
Are different.
I'm going to explain it right now. There are two versions of Matilda. There is the original. Let me finish. There's the original
I know.
Cast, and there's the movie version. And there's, okay. Well, you know what, Phoebe? I feel like I can't talk to a wall. I can't with a wall.
No, but Andrea. I need to explain.
Why? Not only,
there's another version of it. There's this insane version. This new version emerged before the movie came out.
I'm settling this right here now.
No, you're not going to be able to because I've been trying to for the last 6 years.
I mean, Phoebe, I'm like, I hate to break it to you. I just think you remember it wrong. Maybe you were thinking of your own riffs. Well, right here, I see two different versions of it.
Here's what I need. I need Caroline's original 2013 iPad. That's what I need my hands on. Because I had that version downloaded to your iPad.
Whoa. I mean, okay, I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to tell you.
We're not.
Opening riff, exactly the same as what I just did. Me, he, yep.
No, this is how I know this isn't going to work. You're not hearing what I'm saying.
We are S-I-N-G. We be R-E-V-O-L-T-I-N-G. It is
it was even a different
you
color.
We are revolt. I can't hear you because I'm listening to this. Revolting. And revolting times. We sing revolting songs using revolting rhymes. We'll be revolting children till our revolting's done. It is too L-8 for you. We are. She's got the best in me.
I'm trying to find like one of my middle school Spotify playlists.
Yeah, yeah. It is 2L8 for you. We are revolting. It's the exact same.
But Caroline, what I'm telling you is that that is a different version. It's different.
But you're telling me all the riffs are different and I'm telling you they're not.
No. No, 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 no. What version did you just play on your phone?
The original Broadway cast.
Yes. This predates it.
Is it the London version?
Oh, something I have not previously.
Because that's about the original.
I bet it's that one. But it's void on Spotify. That's why I'm trying to look at my old playlists on Spotify because.
Google like West End. And then check like the playlists because sometimes people will upload it.
Okay, that's homework for me to do. I'm gonna.
But then if you can't find it there, it is on YouTube. So just search West End on YouTube.
Because
I know it's not as convenient, but it's there.
No, but I know it exists. I know
it's on YouTube for sure.
That's my homework. I need to.
You're definitely looking for the West End because you know there are two. Like for example, there are two cast recordings of Six. The original is the West End,
which I'm seeing in 3 weeks in my movie theater as well.
And you haven't seen it, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's going to change your life. But yeah, so there's the original West End where they all have accents. And then there's the Broadway version here in America. And it's different. So, but I do wonder sometimes if like, I don't know why it wouldn't be available on Spotify, but anywho. Okay. The third thing I was going to say is that I listened to John Cena on Good Hang today. And I need every single person to go do that because I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this about me, but like he was a massive celebrity crush of mine, like humongous for a really long time. So much so that when he got engaged to be, married, I got apology text. It also happened on my birthday, which felt kind of worse than the Titanic hitting the iceberg. I'm going to double down on that. Of course, he's famously no longer married and he's just like such a great guy, but he talks about like work ethic and he talks about, because Amy's like, you're so successful. How do you do it? Like, whatever, you know, you're good at this, you're good at this, you're good at this. And he was like, I mean, it's not even that. It's just like, I show up and he's like, I've figured it out. Like, if you want to be successful, there are a million different things you can do. But to be unsuccessful, you have to be four things. Unreliable, uninvested. I can't remember the other two right now, but every single one of them, I was like, yes. Yeah, like, I literally am going to write it down. It was so great. And he kept saying, like, when things get really hard, like, how do you keep going? Well, you find your why. And, like, that's also why he's, like, comfortable retiring from wrestling is because he's, like, it's not my time anymore. Like, it's their time now, and I'm excited for them. And my why at the end of the day isn't about me being in the spotlight. It's about, like, whatever. Like, he just, it's really,
he seems
like
a really good guy.
He is such a good fucking guy. He's done more Make-A-Wish volunteer hours than any person on earth. Like, that's a fact, which is crazy. He speaks Mandarin and he speaks French.
That's insane.
He's just like,
and Caroline really, and I know how hard it is to learn a language.
I mean, we're on a 15-day streak on Duolingo. I'm putting in the hours. Yeah, you could say I'm doing that. Anyway, but yeah, so I really think like everybody should go listen. He's also from Boston. And so he and Amy really get into that. He talks about growing up in Boston and like with brothers, and he talks about his mom. Like, he built his mom a house. He did this whole thing where he like bought this huge acre, like acres of land in the town where they grew up. And his mom was living on like the third floor of like one of those townhouse, you know, the houses like in Boston, like Tolman.
A triple decker.
And yeah, a triple decker. And he was like, all her stuff was like in the attic, like with her. And she was just like content, whatever. And so he started telling people he was moving back home, and he started building this house, and he would like go up and build it. And he was like, and I put everything like you would need to live like on the first floor just in case. And I did like, you know, whatever. And then on Thanksgiving, he was like, okay, let's go. Like, he had this through this party at the house and had everyone come, and they like, it was the first time they were going in and whatever. And he built a bar above the garage, and they go up there, and he's like, all right, mom, I have a birthday present for you. And he gives her the keys to the house. And he was like, yeah, it's not for me. It's like, it's for you. And she was like, I can't. And he was like, my mother has earned a castle, so we settled on a house. Like, he just like is, it, he's like, she earned it. I mean, I didn't give it to her. Like, she would, and it just,
that's
is
how
like,
it feels about mom, our mom.
Yeah. Like, and he just, it's really like, I think people just underestimate him, but he is really like such a good guy. And the stuff he says,
Caroline welling up. Caroline is welling up right now.
I'm literally emotional. I'm like, John, I knew I was right about you. I knew people tried to tell me.
His eyes glossed over.
People tried to tell me. They said, "What? Who? We can't see him." And I was like, he's more than that. I see him. How about this, John? They might not be able to, but I see you, you know? God, he's just like, I just love him. And anyway, his advice, it really, I hope he writes a book, because it will completely tank Atomic Habits. I'll tell you that much. Let them theory. Yeah, right. Let John Cena. How about that? But yeah. So anyway, I think everybody should listen to it. His advice applies to literally anything you do in this entire life, like whatever it is. It's basically whatever you are, be a good one, and like, just be good to work with. And like, I don't know why a lot of people just don't fucking get that, but he does. And then I was gonna say the fourth thing, and now I'm forgetting what it was, but it was,
well, something. I was gonna say, speaking of podcasts, is, have you listened to Kat's episode yet of Lost Culture?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah,
she is so fucking funny.
Do you think she pre-wrote her I Don't Think So Honey? I couldn't really tell. And like, I do have to say, I hate that.
I agree.
I hate,
unless you're Darcy Carden, I hate it.
Did she write hers? Oh yeah, she was reading, wasn't she?
Well, no. It's like a thing. Like, that's her I Don't Think So Honey.
Oh, I don't even remember.
That's why Bowen knew every word of it.
That's why
Bowen knew every word.
I've listened to that episode, I think, 2 times, and somehow
it's,
I like,
so
don't remember that
mean,
at all.
And I have always loved Darcy Carden, but
the three of them together.
She's so fucking funny.
It's electric.
But they brought up Kat Stroke. And
right.
I like this perspective because me and Caroline are both kind of like health fraidy cats. In terms of like well, we're health fanatics.
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to finish what I was going to say.
No. But like, we are both like scared of everything being wrong with us and not wanting
that
to ever.
Yeah, but don't tell me. Yeah.
Like, we don't, it's like everything is wrong with me, but I don't ever want anybody to confirm that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I don't ever want to know. And if I just like slowly over time wither away and then one day it's like too late, it's like, okay, well then like at least I don't have to deal with all that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I just,
but I
like
this
because I'm a coward.
Right.
But I would never actually like truly live that way. I mean, clearly I went to the hospital twice last year. For kidney stones.
It's like if something was really wrong, I'd go.
I have to know it's really wrong, though. Like, that's like, it took me hours, my first kidney stone. It took me hours of writhing around on the floor naked, crying and sweating and throwing up that, like, I finally was like, okay, something might be wrong. But, like, we're kind of in this middle ground.
This is no longer
of, like,
a normal Tuesday. Kat in this episode says that she's a hypochondriac, which I relate to in a way of, like, I'm a hypochondriac that won't ever do anything about it. Might.
Kelly's like the exact opposite of that.
Like,
Kelly
loves
to be taken care of, she says. So she'll go to the doctor for literally anything and everything.
Like, if my stomach hurts, it's like, that's stomach cancer.
Really?
But
okay,
I'm just going to go to bed.
But I'm also
going to go to bed, and then
medicated.
I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll be fine. But Kat said, or they were talking about her stroke, and I think Bowen said the concept of a show about a brush with mortality is the most profound thing to me. And she says, I've always been a hypochondriac, so when I was proven right with my stroke, it's like, fuck, what else am I right about? And then she says, my thing now is, like, if something bad can happen, what if something amazing happens?
Oh, yeah. I loved when she said that. Yes.
It's
true.
You're right.
Mindset is everything, you guys. Like, it goes back to what I always say. And I have tried to find this section in Armchair Expert so many times that I'm like, did I come up with this? Did I dream this? Because I say this like every single day to students, to friends, to like whoever. But Kristen Bell went on Armchair Expert years ago and she was like, I've been reading about, and it's neuroplasticity, but she's like, I've been reading about this and it's like, your brain believes you. Your brain thinks you are the smartest person in the world. So whatever you tell your brain, it is constantly backing you up and it's looking for evidence to support what you tell it. So if you tell it.
Does she have OCD?
I don't know. But she was just like talking about this. And I will say.
I mean that in a bad way. I just meant like, I feel like that's kind of the.
Well, I will say if you have OCD, neuroplasticity can be like a little bit triggering because it is the idea that like.
That's what I was thinking.
Anything.
Everything your brain says is right.
Yeah. Like, or that you're manifest. Like, I'll have intrusive thoughts. And then I'm like, did I just manifest that because I thought it? Like, whatever. No. So like, don't get in your head about that. But also like one thing I tell myself a lot, just a little insight on living with OCD, is when I do have those moments where I like have an intrusive thought and I am like, oh my God, what does this say about me? Is this implicitly true? Like, am I going to do this thing? Did I just manifest it? Whatever. I tell myself, no, 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 that is not you. That thought is a symptom of a disease that you have, that you live with. And it has really, really helped me. Like, so instead, it's like, I'm not like saying like, cause typically my go-to would have been to like replace the thought with a million other things or to like shut down and try to really like shut it out and compartmentalize. And that's not healthy either. Or it's like a compulsion or something you need to do to like get the thought, whatever. And so instead of that, like I'm acknowledging it and I'm not calling myself crazy. It's not a rational thought, and it's also not indicative of me because it is a symptom of a disease that I live with. And if I had the flu and I had a fever, I wouldn't internalize it like that. I would say this is a symptom of the flu. And so, like, think about it like that because you're not in control of having OCD or not. So really good advice that I got from my psychiatrist, if any of you want that, put it in your back pocket. But the idea of neuroplasticity is like, if I'm looking at my face in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, my skin is so bad. Then my brain's like, yep, let's zoom in on those pores. Let's zoom in on the dryness, like all that shit. And,
that's
you know,
really good.
That's what you start to believe. But if you tell yourself, that's why affirmations work. Because if you tell yourself, I am beautiful.
Okay, Kenzie
that's
from
true.
Rhode Island.
It's true. I know. She got that right. Your brain now looks for evidence to support that you're beautiful. And it's like, yeah, your hair looks really good today. Like, I think Kristen Bell used the example of if you're doing a math test and you're like, God, I suck at math, then like you're going to do worse on the test because when you're studying the whole time, your brain's like, yeah, you suck at math. So there's no point.
That's
whatever.
A good parenting tip then. To like,
yeah,
if you
but
were,
if you say
imagine
to yourself, like, I'm going to
do your kids would
test.
Be if you could train your kids to think like that. Not in a way of like they're going to go through their whole life being like,
yeah.
I'm perfect.
That's what I try to tell
right,
all my students. Because
like,
I'm like, they're like, oh, I sound so bad. And I'm like, I don't care if you think you sound so bad. Just every time you think that,
you know,
say
who,
out loud the opposite.
You know who is really good at this, I'm sure?
Who?
Trina Vega from Victorious.
She probably invented neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trina Vega
like,
coined neuroplasticity.
Be Trina Vega who's toned up right. And decides to write herself a one-woman musical that she performs in front of her
And then guess
school.
What? I mean, how many times a day is that one woman musical quoted exactly. in modern culture? It became exactly. monoculture. It's now canonical.
You know who I bet was also really good at it?
All
in
it
her
took
adulthood?
Was her believing in herself.
Hannah Ooh. Marin.
But anyway, so it's basically the fancier version of fake it till you make it. And it works. So I just think that I like that she said that. Like, said that, what, could something good happen? I don't know why we started talking about that, but...
We were talking about Kat Cohen.
I know, but I can't remember, like, what the details were, but it's fine.
Well, her being, like, if something bad can happen to me, then...
Yeah, what if something
and
good?
And I have no idea that this thing is going to happen. Why can't something amazing happen to me, too?
It's why, like, literally when you're driving in the car, just, like... Say shit out loud that, like, you can find it embarrassing and humiliating and stupid. You don't even have to believe it's going to work. Just literally saying it is going to help. Like, it is just true. Just the way that muscle memory, like, you build that. Like, I always tell kids it's choreography. Like, yeah, the first time you do it, it's going to suck. And it's going to feel completely alien in your body. And you're going to hate it. And then you're going to do it 10 more times, and some of those moves are going to naturally flow, and you're not even going to have to think about it. And then by the 50th time you do it, it's in your body, and now you can focus on having fun, finding the joy, all the other things you have to think about, because your body knows what to do, because you've built the muscle memory. So it's like the same thing with thinking. You're just, like, building that muscle. Anyway, well, let's talk some breakups really quick. Should we start with Nicolandria? R.I.P.
Tough.
I mean,
but I can't say I was shocked.
I feel like people are gonna hate me for saying this. Okay, this is the Hate on Caroline episode. What else is new? Just kidding. You guys are obsessed. Just kidding about that too. Anyway. What? Wait, what? Wait. Caroline?
Nicolandria.
Just now? Memory maybe.
Wait. I was watching an episode of Pretty Little Liars with Brecken and our friend Maddie, and Maddie's never really watched the show, and immediately she clocks Arya for who she is. And she sees Arya's eyes and she goes, unprovoked, she says, "You know that girl loves having hazel eyes." And I said,
okay, there are original thoughts to be had about the show still.
I said,
brilliant.
There is an episode of the podcast where I have Caroline describe Arya's
eyes.
Wait,
do I say that?
Yes, I said, describe how Arya would describe her eyes. And I think that you say something like, she would be like, I mean, some people say they say blue, some people say they say green, brown.
Change based
like
on
that
my
there's
mood.
Something for everyone. Yeah. You went a lot deeper, but like the fact that someone could immediately tell about Lucy Hill's portrayal
so
of this character.
It's because guess what? We nailed it. Every time we got on the mic, we nailed it. I have realized, like, now that we're, like, well into season two of Gossip Girl, I am starting to have those thoughts again. Like, I'm starting to, like, get a little bit sillier with them, and, like, I'm settling in, and I feel like we both are, but, like, I can feel it start happening to me where I'm, like, I could world build, make fun of these people.
I think
do you feel that?
A little bit. This isn't a knock on the way that the Pretty Little Liars characters are written, because obviously that's my show, but...
It lends itself a little bit more to the ridiculousness.
Yeah, a little bit. And so for this, it's a little bit... Like, the things that we're making fun of Serena and Blair for... It just doesn't hit quite the same yet. I think it'll get there, but I do feel like earlier on in Pretty Little Liars, it was easier to make fun of the characters...
Yeah, I think also so much of that is because of, like, the audience it was written for. Like, as much as there is so much overlap in the audiences, Pretty Little Liars was written for high schoolers and middle schoolers, whereas Gossip Girl was, like, written for high school college. Like, it was, like, a little bit more mature. So some of the things in Pretty Little Liars are so ABC Family in a ridiculous way that, like, makes it so fun. You know what I mean?
Yes. But guys, I'm happy to announce. Guess who's finally freaking off my screen until season 7?
Who?
Paige McCullers.
Oh my god, that's a good feeling.
Out of here.
Oh, that's a great feeling. I was going to make one of those TikToks that's like, the documentary TikTok, and it was going to be me sitting down for the documentary about Lindsay Shaw. Because they're going to want a soundbite. Inevitably, she does something that gets her on the documentary list, on the short list for Doc.
How every Netflix doc now has like the 30-second clip of like all the TikToks about the person or the crime that's being talked about.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Yours is going to kick it off.
That's going to be in there. It's going to be like, it's going to be my face and that 10-minute video I made that still makes the rounds on TikToks. I still get comments like, I don't think they did anything wrong. And I'm like, you're a little late to the party. We already buried them in the ground. I think we actually dismantled Christy Carlson Romano's podcast company. So shut up.
I'm going to tell Brecken she can't listen to this episode, but I just want you to know I'm doing the same thing to her that I did
you're
to
gonna
you.
You're going to thwart our downloads?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. Brecken actually
she's
20% of our viewership. No,
remember
I'm doing
those
the same
days?
Thing.
Well, actually, sorry to flex. I don't think there was ever a day when we truly got 4 downloads. Like,
no, there hasn't.
Right away, we kind of fucking.
Which is crazy.
We had listeners.
Alex Cooper, who?
I mean, not really. We didn't really have listeners right away, but people were interested. People were like,
sure.
What's that about? People were like, I don't, and you know what? I don't care if you're hate listening.
But guys, I'm doing the same thing to Brecken that I did to Caroline when Mona died.
Oh, is she okay? And Brecken,
She's just as upset as you were.
Really?
And she doesn't believe me either, but she's starting to. Like, the funeral happened.
So she's listening to the podcast, right? With it?
Well, kind of.
What?
We're watching the show together, and then she started listening to our early
And then you both listened
podcast.
To the episode together.
I have a gun to her head.
You're like, hey, shut up. Listen to this. You're like, okay,
This is gold.
This would actually be great if you could ask her to.
I've been.
Okay, so where is the shared note? I would like
a
shared note with her findings.
Notes. She has some
or,
notes.
You know what? Tell her to comment them on Spotify, actually.
Okay.
That'd
but what she's
too.
Doing is, and this is how you
I'm
know
serious.
She's.
Text her right now.
I'll text her after this. Is how you know she's locked in. Is that not only are we watching it together, but she's going back and watching the episode. Like she's on like season 2 in terms of our podcast, and she'll watch the episode and then listen to the podcast.
Okay, great. So she is like, okay, so she's doing the work. That's great. I want to be privy to things that we said. One day I'll go
too.
Back and listen. I'm like, okay, when we finish Gossip Girl, we do Pretty Little Liars.
The thing
again.
Is that I'll be like, okay.
We
okay.
make all the same jokes we don't remember. So they're the same. It's like an identical podcast.
Wait,
people
are
like,
going to eat that up. People are going to eat it up.
I know.
Yeah, we should just,
okay,
I mean, until we're tired of it,
we just
go
keep
back
going
and
back and
between
forth.
These shows.
It's like a big game of telephone. By the end, the shows are unrecognizable.
Wait, we just listen back to our old episodes.
We just, yes, and it's like, by the end of it, it truly isn't the same show.
By the end of it,
then we get produced by Amy Poehler.
I was about to say, by the end of it, CW's calling us and saying, hey, this is interesting. Finally,
by the end of it, yes. And then the Tony Awards are calling.
After 25 years, you guys have put something interesting together.
Okay, you guys did it. Okay, you guys really, really hung in there until someone would call you a successful podcast. And I guess you did it because there's no one left. There's no one left making podcasts anymore. So you guys are by default the podcast. Just joshing. I am like, good for us. It's so fun when people start podcasting. They're like, wait, this is hard. And I'm like, you don't know hard. You don't know hard. You know what I mean? Just kidding. But I'm like, again, wait until you have to take down Kim Possible herself and then tell me it's hard. Wait until you have to take down Paige McCullers, the violent, depraved Paige McCullers.
Yeah.
I'll call it how it is.
Have you seen The Odyssey yet?
No, because it's fucking impossible. I mean, I cannot get tickets to this damn show in IMAX. And I'm not seeing it another way.
Have you seen The
Invite? I've been to the movies in a minute. No, and I want to see that really bad too. I've been in Frozen Land. I've been in Arendelle. Okay, just like let me live.
Well, all I'll say
is, by the way, don't forget, Frozen is the most beautiful story ever told.
Everybody should go see The Invite, though. I think it's kind of like, for some people, it's slipping by the wayside. Like they're not.
It won't for me. I'm clocking it. Really want to see it.
Everybody listening to it, it was. I haven't heard people laugh like that in a theater in a long time.
Not even an obsession.
My favorite
Which,
comedy
by the way,
of the
that
year.
TikTok reel of us talking about that, like, people comment on it every single day. It, like, out of all of our reels, it has, like, the highest views on TikTok, not on Instagram, of any of our podcast reels. I'm like, okay.
That's crazy. I just rewatched that, actually, and it holds
Me
up.
Me too.
Perfect film.
So good. Anthony loved it. He was a little bit spooked, of course, which I love. He doesn't really like scary movies, but he
Well,
liked
Odyssey's
it. He got the
a little
hype.
Spooky.
Well, then I guess he's staying home.
Heads up
for him.
Guess
I have to get a babysitter. I saw this TikTok today of a girl and her boyfriend making pizza, and the comments, like, immediately go in on the guy. They're like, okay, I just know he was in the principal's office a lot, or I know that he, like, what, I don't remember. Someone was like, you're so patient with him or something. And I was like, yeah, that's Anthony. I mean, it's endearing and sweet in the video, but I was like, that's so mm-hmm. Anthony. The girl is much more patient than me, but they're not married yet. So that will change. I'm just like, get to the point now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to like fluff right. your ego. You know who you married. I also saw this TikTok that was like, is your husband okay with that? Quote, I don't know. Never crossed my mind. Didn't ask him. Repost. I thought about it. I was like, wait, that is so me. Because when I really think about it, I don't ever ask him. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be gone 20 hours a day for the next 6 years. And you'll just steal.
Just Carolyn, kidding. Where are you in Roni?
I am almost done with season 4.
Okay.
Are you on 7?
Yeah, I need you. I'm about to be on 8.
Okay, well, I've been kind of switching gears, and this is good for us to switch gears to Big Brother, because I've been a little locked in on live feeds. But then what's nice about the week is I'm like, all the main shit happens on feeds Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
At night.
A little bit on Monday. At night. But that's when all the, like, by Monday, we know who's doing veto, I think, by Monday. And we might even know who won. And
yeah, like
it's
Monday,
like,
Tuesday, I feel like.
Once all the people are on the block and solidified, it's like, you already know the plan. You already know everything. If something crazy happens, I'll see it on Twitter. But, like, I don't feel the need to watch as much during the week. So now that, like, we're in it, I feel like I can get back into Roni. And honestly, I've just been kind of, like, not that locked into In the City or The Valley or Next Gen. And it's by no fault of those shows. I'm just, I just it's, haven't been.
Here's what it is for me, is that I would 9.5 times out of 10 rather be watching Roni than any of the
Roni
shows on Bravo
is
right
so
now.
So good. I just saw that Morocco trip, number one. Kelly, I mean,
it's really rude that you just interrupted my henna.
The henna thing is so Kelly being like, and you ruined my henna. I mean, what am I gonna do with this? She ruined my henna. You know what, Alex, shh, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
What does Alex? What does Alex say? Alex says, "Can someone just please get her a Pinot Grigio? A Pinot Grigio, please."
I mean, why would you tell me you're gonna have Pinot Grigio if you're not gonna have it? I'm just saying it's rude. I'm just saying it's rude. That was a little bit too Jill, but
can I give
now
you
it's
a little
Luann music video?
Can I give you a little bit of a spoiler? Because you're gonna like it in the context.
Yeah, I'm not a loser. The show's been
lives,
on forever, so I can
of our lives,
it.
Of our lives. So I just want you to keep that in your brain as I tell you what's happening.
All right.
So Luann gets to a point where she's dating again.
Okay, well, she's currently dating.
She meets this man named Tom, who she falls in love with in 3 weeks. And then they get engaged. And this man has been hooking up with Sonia for like 10 years.
Oh,
and went
God.
On like 8 dates with Ramona.
And by the way, I didn't realize Mario and Ramona break up. And I just got to the part where she
neither,
like, gets the reading and everything. And so, like, I was like, wait a minute. And I Googled it. And when I saw that they break up, I was floored. So I can't wait to see how that unfolds.
I know. I was really surprised, too. I was like, they just seem like they kind of gave like a Kyle Mauricio vibe.
Well, not all the psychics getting it right.
Exactly.
He will never emotionally fulfill
exactly.
you.
Exactly. It's kind of crazy. And so,
I've got two legs.
All
last
of
time we checked.
So, both of the girls, like, they can't really let it go. But Luann is giving that delusional friend who is like, this is her whole vibe this season. I can't believe I'm getting married. I can't believe I mean, we're in love. He's my soulmate. I can't believe I'm in love. I'm getting married. Like, over and over again.
Anna from Arendelle.
And she is convinced that Ramona and him only went on 2 dates, because that's what he's saying, but we have proof that they went on more.
Is Ramona, like, telling the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Sonia. And I'm sure no one believes her.
They're saying that Sonia and him were a one-night stand. We have proof that they had been lovers for, like, years.
Oh, my God.
And then Bethany finds proof that he was cheating. There's pictures of him making out with a girl for an hour at the Regency Bar while she's in Palm Springs right after their engagement party.
It's giving Rula.
And then here's the thing, ladies. If you're ever in this situation where you have, like, a somewhat of a good girlfriend coming to you who's, like, she's not your best friend, but she's, like, in your circle. She comes to you and she's, like, seems like she has bad news that she's gonna deliver to you, and she has receipts. If your gut reaction is, don't tell me it's about Tom or your boyfriend's name,
it's about
him. That's a good indicator that, like, you shouldn't be in this relationship. She's like, don't say it's about Tom. Why is that your gut reaction if you guys are so in love and so good?
If somebody came up to me and Anthony and Kelly, no, because someone comes up to me and Kelly. Someone comes up to me in a group of girls and guys. Someone comes up to me, my friends, and they're like, okay, I have proof that someone's man is cheating. Let's say all of us are married and, like, everyone except for me has, like, 6 kids and they've been together for a zillion years, but they're still my age and everything's amazing in their lives. I'm the last person in that line who's saying, don't tell me it's about Anthony. Because,
exactly.
Like, I'm just like, Anthony this morning sent me a picture of two cherries and two snails resting on the stems of the cherries kissing. Sends it to me via text this morning, said us, and then also posted it on his Instagram story and tagged me. And so I reshared it and said whipped. And it's like, yeah, I'm just like, sorry, maybe marry someone who does that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Maybe marry someone who texts you, I eely love you. And you
who texts
and I say,
you?
I electric eely. Who texts you that?
who said that from Beverly Hills? PK Texas is Dorit. PK Texas is Kyle.
He texts her. Who was that?
She's not on the show anymore.
I'm like, who's on that show? He texts her. Who the fuck was that?
I'm gonna find it.
Was it Garcelle?
Yes.
You know that feeling when you're reading a thriller and you tell yourself, okay, just one more chapter. And then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're questioning every character's motives? Yeah, that's exactly the vibe of Not What It Seems by number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. I recently got into this one and it absolutely hooked me. It starts with what looks like a simple accident in Georgia's eerie low country marshes, but then investigators find a polished stone beside the body, etched with a bloody number and a strange symbol, and that's when things get weird. Soon, more bodies start turning up, more stones appear, and crime reporter Nikki Gillette can't stop digging for answers, even when it becomes clear she's putting herself directly in a killer's path. What I loved about this book is the atmosphere. You've got Savannah's historic streets, creepy marshlands, buried secrets, and that constant feeling that someone is watching from the shadows. It's got that perfect Southern Gothic mood mixed with a seriously addictive serial killer mystery. If you're a fan of authors like Paula Hawkins, Riley Sager, J.T. Ellison, this is definitely one to add to your list. And the title couldn't be more fitting, because in this story, absolutely nothing is what it seems. Not What It Seems by Lisa Jackson is available June 30th wherever books are sold. So if you're looking for your next can't put it down thriller, go grab a copy and prepare to lose some sleep.
Nailed it.
Yes, it was Garcelle.
Good anyway, job. Okay, nailed it. Well, I'm excited to get there. I am. Roni is genuinely so good. I just got to, like, Sonia's big song moment. I've been down, but I've never been out. Habibi.
Wait, what does Luann always say on the Morocco trip? Mahabibi.
Yeah, she says Habibi. Habibi.
Luann Luann speaks like a combination of a drag queen, Laura Ingraham, and Tar from the movie Tar, featuring Kate Blanchett.
Well, I haven't seen Tar, but that's a hilarious.
But that's
combo.
Her trio.
I know that. Okay, work.
I don't know what.
And by the
queen...
way, if you would like to know what your trio is, you can Venmo Phoebe $15, and she'll tell you.
I'm pretty good at
it. Instead of cameos, that's what Phoebe's doing. I don't know what
I'm
doing.
And you can tell me what universe you want it to come through. Like, that was kind of like.
I'll give you really harsh advice.
I'm aware of, but with Caroline, remember when I gave her Glee zodiac signs?
Yeah, and you fucking nailed it. Yeah, Phoebe's good at like the big three, but the big three has to be what she wants it to be in that moment. Like, is your big three three housewives? Is your big three three random things or people or inanimate objects? Is your big three your Glee?
And you have
like,
to
whatever.
Be okay with a Fox
whatever.
News host
and
being in the group.
What you get is what you get. And don't read into it too much, but also... take it to heart.
Maybe read into it just so much.
But also, look in the mirror. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't like what you see, that's not our problem. It's not Phoebe's problem. Actually, for the Caroline show this month, why don't you guys all send me a situation, every single one of you, send me a situation or something that you want harsh advice about.
I think last episode you said you wanted them to send you something to rail against.
Either one. Is cool. I'm compiling topics.
Caroline is just trying to create the perfect episode where she can just
let it rip.
Yeah.
Let it rip. And that was therapy today as well. Therapy, I was letting it rip. And my therapist, I was like, she's like, okay, I'm going to
Caroline getting on therapy
second.
Today. I'm just going to kind of let it rip. Today.
Let it rip. She was like, okay, I'm going to stop you for 1 second and like totally tell me if I'm wrong, but like, she's like, a lot of these things, like, I'm trying to figure out why you feel personally responsible for, like, managing all of these things that, like, aren't necessarily yours, like, right now. And I was like, well, because I'm fucking pissed. And she was like, no, that is clear to me. I can tell that your emotions are real and that they are coming from you. I can
tell
it's not...
No, I know you're upset.
I totally believe. And I was like, and so I explained to her, I was like, oh no, this is also for me. And I explained, she was like, okay, now I understand. And she was like, yeah. But I definitely, for sure, I get it. You are pissed. Anyway. So I would love some things to rant about how much I hate them. And also if you want harsh advice or like, or you know what I always want to do? I always want to call into the Vile Files for a friend. And I want to call in and be like, this is a situation. Let's hear it, Nick. And, you know, I can't
and
do
then
that.
And then you send the clip of the podcast and say, wait, what do you think about this? They have no
Never
idea
forget.
That it's, you disguise your voice.
Yeah, I use a voice changer. Like, on, I'm like, it's like a bouncy one. You can't understand anything I say. You need to play it backwards to hear what I'm saying. Nick's like, this is scary. Never forget when I literally
ordered Nick's
book and gave it to this girl who was driving me nuts crying about one of my friends, she thought was mean to her. And I'm sure he was, but like, I was like, hey, at this point, like, get over this. Like,
Nick,
he's shown you.
Nick gets Caroline on the phone, and his next podcast episode is How I Found the Zodiac Killer.
Nick gets me on the phone, and his next podcast isn't released for 6 months because he's recovering.
And then he's like escaping Jigsaw's final trap.
Yeah, and it's like, what happened on that episode?
How I Took
keeps
Down
meeting.
Jigsaw.
They're like, Nick won't record ever since she came on. Anyway, so back to the matters at hand. Well, let's quickly, I know we've talked about a mixed bag of things, but let's quickly talk about
Big Brother.
So what an insane fucking week. It's only week two. This was only the second eviction. If you guys are not watching, then we're going to talk about In the City next. You can either get real and start watching Big Brother, or you can skip to that part of the episode. But spoilers, if you haven't watched last night's episode, big guy in the house evicted Rome. And it is always crazy. Like, do you think he just played way too hard? Like, he just showed his cards way too fast. Like,
100%.
He And that's a good lesson too in Angela's season. Like, it is a good lesson also, because Rome really could have won it, and he was honestly a nice guy. But like,
I think he just came in so hot. I'm not giving him that credit. I think he's. I don't like him very much.
Actually, you know what? He's not a nice guy because I forgot for a second about what he said to Haley.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't like him at all.
And I liked how Barrett stood up for her. He called Haley a snarky bitch. Like, don't, and Barrett's like, don't call a woman a bitch. Like,
especially
because,
like,
and he, like,
I was expecting to watch the nomination start, like, the stuff we didn't get to see on feeds. And I was like, she must have, like, gone and, like, I'm not, I don't like Haley at all. Like, I'm not a big Haley fan. I'm ready for her to go too. But
yeah,
I was, because of what I heard Rome say on feeds that we ended up seeing on last night's episode, I was like, she must have, like, said something really shitty to him. And then we see it, and she's basically done nothing to him.
Literally,
and
I mean,
he says that, and it's like, and then he goes into the, we didn't see this on the episode, which is, again, a point in the column of, like, feeds are very, what we're seeing as people
feeds
who
are
watch
crucial.
Feeds is very different than what the Facebook group is watching, which I loved Barrett and Dee's shade to the Facebook group.
Talking about it.
Laugh, so funny. But in the dressing room, Rome was like, I really hate that I, like, let myself, like, act out of my character. And I'm like, no, like, that's your character.
That's your character. Exactly.
This is you playing a part. Mm-hmm. This Rome guy, your name's not even fucking Rome, you fucking freak.
So stupid. Guys, so in Big Brother, sometimes they use secrets as, like, leverage. So, like, let's say I went into the Big Brother house. I've already decided that if I go into the Big Brother house, I'm not, I mean, I have, like, 800 jobs I could choose from. But I think what I'm going to say is that I'm a ghost tour guide. I think that's, like, a great, and I'm not worried about saying that right here, right now. It's fine. Now, at some, because I wouldn't necessarily want everybody to know I'm a podcaster, because, like, people just take things like that and twist them. I wouldn't necessarily want anyone to know I'm in marketing, because then they'd think, you know, just, or theater, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, when I get really close with somebody in the house and it's like, okay, to show you that this is legit and that I really trust you, I'm going to tell you that I have a podcast or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't seem that important and like the real world, but like in those moments it's like, this is gold because now you know we're legit. Rome tells Drew, was it, he's like, okay, I'm gonna tell you, like, no one in the house knows this. This is a huge secret. My name is not actually Rome, it's Jack. Okay. And I was like, this is actually the craziest shit I've ever seen. Who cares? Like, this is not, like, what? I saw some theories that he was breadcrumbing to see if Drew's the mole, the leak, and that would have been smart, but it doesn't seem like that's what it was.
Well, then we also find out that it's not like he went into the Big Brother house choosing Rome to be his fake name. He does go by Rome. That's like, that's his name.
So, like, basically that is your name. Right.
So it's not stupid. Like, it's like there is the theory that Barrett and Drew are friends outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's the secret. That's the secret that it's like.
Right.
You're pretending to be something that you're not in the house. Like, that's
right.
If Rome was really Jack out of the house and he decided to come in and say his name was Rome and then, like, fall in love with Lyric saying that his name is Rome, like, that's the gag.
But
that's not what he did. He said that name since he was, like, in third grade.
People who watched the show who know you in real life also just learned that about you. Like, they didn't say, like, there's Jack. Wait, what's he going by? They were like, there's, oh my God, I didn't know Rome's name is Jack. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, not a secret. I was going to say about Lyric. Also, the entire showmance, it was just, I honestly don't, like, Rome, I think he might be a certified weirdo. Because the way that he was moving, like, I'm like, and it's just proof that being good looking and, like, a little bit physically adept can get you so fucking far on nothing. Cause I'm sorry, the way that he was acting towards Lyric, this isn't Love Island. So you forming a connection with somebody this quickly is actually really weird. Like, it's not like, that's not the challenge here.
Did you see him leaving the house tonight?
To connect. No.
He pulled Lyric aside. Cause at this point, I think he thought Lyric was his vote. Pulls her up, like, in front of everybody.
Oh my God,
as he's
leaving. I didn't even, so was it Jason?
No, it was Taylor.
What?
Taylor thought that if they kept Rome, it would be a good target for the rest of the weeks.
Okay, guys, this is a good example. I mean, that's a good thought, but this is an example of why it's important to vote with the house. Because now, like, when it's like that kind of a thing, your vote It's doesn't make a difference. Okay. It's not like in the elections here in real life where you absolutely must vote. It's like you're voting. And if you know you're the only one who's going to vote that way.
Yeah.
That's just like a stupid thing to do. Just vote with the house.
Right. So he like takes Lyric in front of everybody and he dips her. Like he like does like they're walking down the aisle after getting married. And he says, I just want everybody here to know I am in love with Lyric. I'm in love with this girl. And he leaves. And then he also kissed Jason and hugged him in kind of like a way where I was like, that's
okay.
A weird way to hug him, I guess. And then he walks out. This is my favorite moment. Julie goes, do you want to guess who your one vote was? And he goes,
oh my God.
he looks to the crowd like he's in the fucking Hunger Games and like is the charming District 1 boy.
The way that he smiled on the camera.
He is literally like, I mean, I have one good guess. And Julie's like, yeah, who is that?
Julie.
He's like, Lyric. And she's like,
oh my God.
She's like, it wasn't Lyric. And then he goes,
did he
Jason?
Fall out of his chair?
He goes, Jason? And she's like, not also Jason no. either.
What?
So fucking funny.
So did Lyric, I didn't watch yet. So did Lyric vote for Rome because she was doing this charade that they were broken up? And like she wanted Devins to believe that she was, or
no, because
she
I
like
think
fake this whole showmance?
She had her conversations with Devins that like, I think she wanted to show. Here's what I think. I think she knew she didn't have the numbers to keep Rome. She worked a lot of the episode to try to get those numbers and that she knew it wasn't going to work. She had a conversation with Devins at one point where she was basically like, if I get HOH, I won't put you on the block. And you remember that from the veto. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Is this?
So I think it was a way of proving herself.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering. Because in my opinion, if she really felt the way she feels about Rome, the whole house is going to expect her to vote to keep Rome because she's in a showmance and they know that. And so if she was serious about wanting a future with him outside of the house, it wouldn't matter if her vote didn't move the needle and she knew it wouldn't. It's like a show of good faith that like this was real. The fact that she didn't.
I know.
Is kind of insane.
He literally said in this episode that he is like, I like. Can see myself marrying you.
Yeah, literally. I mean, so that's what I'm saying. And like she was acting like it was mutual, but then I was, so it's just interesting to me. I'd be interested to see. I would not be surprised if her ass is another showmance next week. The way she was like flirting with those guys, I was like, okay, chill, girl. Like you can be broken up with Rome without
her going into the dressing room to Mallory and Lyric and saying like, I wish we could just like all like triple date in here. And Mallory of all people saying, I got hoes at home.
Okay, girl. Like, work, Devo. Mallory's like kind of on my last freaking nerve. I'm like,
I don't
you
like
need
her
to relax
very much at all.
Sometimes people are just like so intense when they don't need to be. And I'm like, do you know you're not in danger of going home right now?
It's also like, especially this early in the game.
Yeah.
When there isn't
fucking crazy, but it is really early.
When there isn't clear beef like there is between Angela and Jason or like certain people and certain people, it's like, why do you hate D so much?
Well, exactly.
Mallory, why do you hate D so much?
I know. And I didn't like what Melody was saying when she was like, oh, great. Like, Devin's putting up two little girls. Like, and I'm like, actually, that's bad for women that you just said that. Like,
I agree.
I would never call myself a weak little girl. It's like, how about this? I'd be like, okay, I must be a threat, you know?
Exactly.
Like, or I'd be like, okay, you know what? I respect it, and I'm actually excited that he would want, like, all right, let's play, you know?
Who'd they do that to last season where they were like, they did it to Rachel. They were like, oh, like, I bet her kids are so proud of her. Like, I bet she's so, like,
right, yeah.
It's her like, kids are watching
yeah,
this.
Yeah, well, when
and it's
she's like, playing to win and stop,
I'm just
like
don't
why
fucking
do you
go
think,
on this
so
show
now
if you're
want
not trying
special treatment
to,
because you're a quote
exactly.
little you want us to think of you as a little girl when it's in your favor but then you want to be like a strong feminist girl when it counts. It's like be that all the time, be that right now, let this light a fire under your ass, not like how dare he. It's like where did you come in here expecting favors? Like
it's also just like why go on the show if you don't want to be like take all of the stuff from the outside world away and just, like, be the best player. It shouldn't matter who was a family. Like, and also, there's a reason we all love Rachel. There's a reason we all love Angela. It's because, like, they're... You think, Melody, that I bet that plays really well to the Facebook crowd. You being, like, saying shit like that.
I'm sure, except for they hate women, so they might be, like...
No, but they do hate women, but they like women like Melody.
I don't think Melody is that type of person. I don't think she presents as that type of person usually, which is why I was like, what's this? Like, I feel like she wants to present as
she
like...
She said a couple of things on the feeds that made me think that she could be that kind of woman.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
I'm not sold on her. Also, she's a pick-me as fuck with that cucumber butt on her head.
Oh, no, I don't like her. If that's not obvious. I don't like her.
Her having that cucumber on her head.
She does look exactly like Amanda Seyfried. I didn't see that.
Don't even give it to her.
Cetriolo.
No.
That's cucumber in Italian.
No, I'm saying don't even compare her to Amanda Seyfried.
Well, she just looks exactly like her, and that's true.
No.
Did you know what cetriolo meant?
No, I'm not there yet. Am I Italian? I'm learning Italian, German, and Spanish right now.
I'm just doing Italian and Spanish. That's it.
I thought German might be fun because I've never learned or even, like, stuck my toe into a non-romance language pool.
I just want to be really good at the languages. So I'm like, I'm trying not to overcommit myself because really it would be very helpful if I could speak Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Because, girls, I'm going to be going to Italy.
Like, I am on level 14 and a half of Spanish.
Nice. I don't know. I haven't done Spanish in like a week. But it is so similar to Italian, but I'm also like, sometimes I have to remember like the little harder differences, you know what like I mean? And the words. But anyway, if I were in that house, last thing I'll say about Big Brother for now is if I were in that house, and I wasn't already invited into the room with Devin's D and Angela, I would be sitting outside the door crying, not like Rome, but I'd be like, please let me in. I respect you. I just want to learn.
That is something I want to say about Rome.
On the wall.
What?
It's like, Rome, that was so epic. Guys, let me explain what happened. Go ahead.
It was electric, but all I want to say to make my question for Rome is, it being so early in the game, I don't understand why he wanted it to be this big, like... If I'm Rome, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I'm never going to go on a show like this. I don't think I'm a player like this. But, like, it feels too much, like, it's too much of an alpha move, I think, for this early in the game to, like, ring the doorbell that many times.
Yeah.
Wait out there.
I was thinking, though, I was like, what would I have done if I was him or any of those three? So here's what happened, guys. Devin's is Survivor legend. He's HOH. There are two big alliances that he is in, to both of them. He brings everybody from the alliances. By the way, this is masterminded basically by Angela. They go basically one by one, get everyone from these alliances. And it's the majority of the house is now in the HOH room. There are three specific people who are excluded. It is Rome, Lyric, and Jason. They are in the kitchen. Angela walks down the steps, goes into a room, wakes up Barrett, walks back by them with Barrett, and is like, hey, guys, and goes upstairs and brings them into the room.
She says, good night.
Good night. And Rome's like, you're going to bed? She's like, I'm going to go hang out. And they just, like, don't invite him. And then I think D comes and gets someone also, and they go up there. And it's all happening in front of these three. And I was like, what the fuck would I do if I was these three? And then Rome goes up and rings the doorbell so that they let him in. They all stand there in the room. There are cameras. They can see him standing outside the door. And no one says anything and no one opens the door. He knows there are like 12 people.
He's ringing it 800 times.
Over and over. He then pulls up a chair, sits outside of the door. And then in the morning, all those people have to answer for why they were having a big meeting about backdooring Rome this week, which they successfully did. It was a crazy fucking week. It was epic. It was awesome. It was so dramatic. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was electric to watch. And this is why I love chaotic, amazing game players.
Made himself a bigger target by doing that?
I don't know, because how could he have been a bigger target? You know what I mean? They were all in there because that was the plan. So it's like, regardless, I don't think, if they weren't all in there meeting about him, okay. I think maybe he thought that they would let him in. I think maybe he also thought that Devin, they might respect it. They might be like, okay, you're like playing hard. I don't know. I think when your back's against the wall, I think he knew like there was obviously something pointed happening in there and it was probably not in his favor. So did it really matter if he like lost his cool? I don't know. You know what I mean? But I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have, right when they walked by, right when Angela and Barrett walked by, I would have gone and joined them and walked up with them. And then they wouldn't have been, where are they going to shut the door in my face? Like, I wouldn't have waited for them to close
That's
the
door. That's what Angela would have done.
Yeah. And like, and then you know what? Now I'm in the room. Like, I don't know. Like, and then now either they can't talk about it or they have to include me.
It killed me when they went fully into the bathroom to talk about it.
I know. It was, I mean, it was amazing. I was like, God, I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I want to play this game so fucking bad. I actually like get kind of sad watching it because I'm not there. That's how I know my bones that I'm supposed to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to do it so bad. I want to do it so bad.
Well, before we finish up, let's touch on
In the City.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do that. And then let's just finish with the breakups.
Okay, I'll be brief with In the City. So Phoebe didn't watch it, but part one of the reunion happened this week. Some noteworthy moments. Number one, Amanda did her own styling, hair, and makeup for this event.
So fucking bad.
I feel like she was trying to go for like a virginal look. I'm like, because I do think it was disrespectful to show up looking hot to the last reunion. Like I was like, okay,
but she didn't
look
great.
We did say she should have dressed like Dobby. But I mean, I thought she looked good. I didn't love the hair or whatever, but it was clear that like she felt hot. Like she's like taking like these sexy photos of herself to post. I'm like, I wouldn't be posting a single photo of myself from this day. I should have been wearing all black and like a veil over my head. You know what I mean? Like I should have been lady
in a burlap sack.
Exactly. I should have been looking like Dobby and I should have been whacking my head against the wall saying stupid, stupid, stupid.
Sierra, will you give me a sock?
That's not what she did. Exactly. Exactly. No. You cannot have a sock. So she looked so plain Jane boring. She's wearing like a white lace, like high cut dress. And then she's wearing like basically no makeup, obviously, but a million fake freckles. And then her hair parted like on the side and straight. And she's
thin
like, well,
and
I did
greasy
this so that
fuck.
Nobody can get in trouble.
She
and
said
it's
that?
Like, yeah. Andy goes, hey, Amanda, like, what did he say? He was like, did you style yourself today? And she's like, yeah, I actually did my own styling, hair, and makeup so that nobody can get in trouble. If you hate my look, it's all me, just like most of my actions. That's what she said. Yes.
The thing about her,
there was
is
life
like,
in her eyes.
She is zero personality at
None.
All. So like
None.
These jokes, she made a joke later that I'm sure you're going to bring up where it's like, these jokes, number one, are they in bad taste? But number two, you just don't have the personality for this.
The problem is it's like there are some girls out there who believe that they are funny and would tell you that they're like the funny one in the group and whatever, and they've never made you laugh in their life. But because they're pretty and popular and rich, people have always laughed at their jokes. So they mm-hmm. believe they're funny. That's who Amanda is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not actually funny. You know, and if you want to make people who hate you laugh, you're going to have to do way fucking better than that. Sorry. But so that was one thing that really was insane to me. The other thing is she was asked, Andy was like, okay, I asked West if he was on beta blockers at the Summer House reunion. I got some heat for not asking you. So I'd like to know, were you on any, and he like was like, didn't say beta blockers. He was like, were you on any, like, was your calmness induced
hey, by
a
the
substance?
Way, now we have confirmation from West that she was on Xanax.
Yeah, but she lies at the reunion. She's like, I did take a beta blocker, but that is not why I was, like, out
oh,
of it.
Was it a defense
she
mechanism?
She goes, I was dissociating, and I think that you guys, you know, probably have seen when I get in, like, big fights, usually with Kyle, like that's where I just dissociate and I just like, I'm not there. And so like, that's at a certain point, that's just what I had to do. And I'm like, no, bitch, because you know what? Right now I'm looking at you. You look completely different. You're sitting up straight. You're attentive. You're trying to make all like, this is not the same Amanda I saw a few weeks ago. And that's how I know. Like,
the Amanda we saw a couple weeks ago couldn't keep her eyelids open.
Exactly. Like, it was concerning. She was, like, slurring her words. It was a completely different Amanda. So it was like, it honestly, if you wanted us to believe that you weren't on anything at the Summer House reunion, you should have taken the same thing today. Because
which is why.
Otherwise, I'm comparing your performance. These weren't that far apart, you know?
Well, it's also, like, I don't love that now you're like, Andy asks if you watched that back and you're saying I lived it, and it's like but it doesn't seem like you barely. Even really lived it.
You even told Lindsay Hubbard that you were blacked out during it and you don't remember it. So no, you didn't live it. And if you lived it, or if you had watched it, I think you would have seen, oh, I'm not going to be able to lie about being on anything. Oh, I can't say I wasn't. It's way too obvious that I was. Like, sorry, you know, I hate to speculate about drug use, but it doesn't even feel like speculation.
We don't have to speculate. Wes told us. Yeah.
So there's that. Couple other things I want to say about it. We're talking about Kyle moving on, Kyle hooking up with people, and Amanda is just like going in on him, and she's like, no, we love joking about it. Like, we joke about it all the time. Like, it's fine. And then, like, she's like, yeah, like that picture of Kyle on his tippy toes, like kissing that girl. And you literally had sex the night before, whatever. He had sober sex with somebody, apparently. But like, she just like goes on and on.
Amanda,
and like reads
no
out,
one cares.
Lays out all of his dirty laundry, and he's like, okay. And she's like, so see, like, I told you, like, we're fine. Like, we're honestly good. We laugh about it all the time. And I'm
sounds
like, yeah,
like
but you're actually, this is giving you and Summer House, like, constantly pulling out his flaws and throwing them,
like,
on the table so that,
like,
everybody can attack it.
It's like being the bully on the playground who is about to get in trouble with the teacher. So she's like, has a gun to the kid's head who she's bullying. And she's like, no, we're just having fun. And I can say this and I can say this. And it's like, we're fine. And the kid who's being bullied is so afraid of you. And I, again, like, Kyle's like, I feel like it sounds like we're always defending Kyle. And it's not what it is, but it's just like, Amanda, we had proof of you not cheating. We had proof of you and Wes within, like, allegedly 2 months within it even starting. Probably sooner if we're really going off of your timeline. So forgive me for thinking that if Kyle had been stepping out on your marriage in the last 10 years, we would have pictures of it.
And listen, I understand it's possible. And it's possible that that has happened. Like, I do not want to negate or downplay that Kyle wasn't a good partner, but I also think there were a lot of areas where he was, and I think there are some things that, like, I don't know, there are some issues that are worth working through, and there are some that aren't, but, like, you know, obviously he wasn't putting in the, I don't know, they weren't supposed to be together. I don't even want to get into it. I don't even know, but, like, yeah.
It's just frustrating for Amanda to have done what she's done and to be where she is now and to still think that she can play the victim in her relationship.
Yeah.
When we're, especially within the city, we're just seeing a completely different picture of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't really feel for you the way that I did. And I don't even think I would
feel
for you the way that I did. Like, even taking the West of it all out of it, I think I'm seeing a different side of, like, how you treated Kyle.
Yeah.
And again, not an excuse.
I mean, totally.
You weren't meant to be with each other. But, like, Amanda, you weren't some amazing partner to Kyle.
No. And, like, Amanda, you fought so hard for this relationship. And then for what? Like, I'm just confused.
I don't really care about hearing, like, I don't care about him sleeping with people and how that makes you feel anymore. When you're.
And that is the thing. I'm like, if you, Amanda, if you guys had just, like, broken up amicably and you were on good terms and you were coming on the show and you're like, oh, yeah, and you, like, were on your tippy toes kissing the blah, 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 then that's, like, okay. But that's not what happened. And you are the villain. So, like, you making these comments isn't lighthearted and fun. It seems like you're trying to be like, see, like, he's not getting any shit and he's, like, blah, blah, blah.
That's how you know she is so unfamiliar with not being the victim or not being able to make herself the victim in her brain. It's like, no,
I
can go to the Yankees game and I can spit in West's mouth in Italy, but Kyle can't make out and have sex with Sally Carson and Sally can't go tell Lala that he's good in bed.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't understand.
Actually, yeah, he can. He can do all of that.
Right.
You wanted to tell Sierra so clearly that you guys are not together anymore. You guys are basically divorced, even if the papers weren't signed.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle can do whatever he wants.
Yes. So, okay. ending with Bravo breakups, of which there
West
are many.
West and Amanda, by the way, aren't saying I love you to each other, I guess. Illy. That's how you know she's the least funny person you've ever met in your whole life.
It gave the Chat GPT response when she was like, yeah, ChatGPT wrote it.
Hey,
it
no
like
time
the same
for jokes.
Thing.
No
yeah,
time
like,
for
hey,
jokes, girl.
Take this fucking seriously. This isn't a joke. This isn't your comedy hour. Okay, so Kristen Doty and Luke.
I know.
Did you see this coming?
After watching the last couple episodes, yeah.
I don't think I really thought that they would break up. I think I thought they would move through it, because I think we see a lot of couples that have a child and there's so much joy welcoming this child into the world. But by the same token, a lot of times it does create a different dynamic in your relationship. It creates more stress in your lives that you might take out on each other. Like, I just understand mm-hmm. that it can be hard on marriages at times.
Are they? And
so I thought they would work through it. And but he really has just been pissing me off. Not that I think she's a saint, but.
Are they staying together, just taking a break from the engagement?
I believe they're separated. Like, I believe they are not in a relationship at this time, perhaps.
Okay.
I could be getting that wrong, but that's my understanding. So we have them. Then we have Whitney and Justin of Real Housewives of Salt Lake.
Well, let's start with Angie and her husband, because that was the first news we got this week.
Can I just say something? I was surprised to hear he might be having an affair with a woman.
Well, I did like the subtle shade in the Pop Crave tweet. Where it was like Angie K's husband was found cheating on her with a female employee.
Well, I guess I didn't clock that, because I was so surprised by it being a female employee that, like, I didn't clock that. So obviously, so was Pop Crave. That's why they included it. I feel for her. I'm thinking of Electra at this time.
I know, and the horse.
What I do know is that the next season of Salt Lake is going to be epic. That's what I do know.
I sent this in the situation group today. That video of Meredith Marks looking at Whitney, and she's like down here on the counter.
You don't
and
talk
like,
about her husband?
No. It's to Whitney. She's like moving her eyes like crazy, and someone said, Meredith Marks put a generational curse on Whitney Rose here.
In this very moment, you can see it happening in real time. That's what that is. Never seen this before? That's
like,
what that is.
I'm also loving the tweets of like the most electric pictures of Lisa and Meredith ever taken, that are like every tongue that rises against them will fall.
And I also love all the photos of John and Lisa that Lisa's posting right now, just to remind us that they're good.
We're seeing that, and then we're seeing Meredith go on Threads. That's like the Bravo Lebs ideal way of communicating with the fans. But Meredith, and I think Meredith makes a good point. She's like, isn't it interesting to see the claims that have been thrown against you for years and years now about you and your marriage and you and your family
end up
now
being
true. Be true about other people who are the people that are saying these things.
It's almost like what you put into the universe.
And it's like, Angie, Angie and Whitney, you saying all this shit about Meredith and Seth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're about to have an epic battle of the divorcees between Whitney and Angie.
And it says nothing of the Mary Cosby unfollowing.
Oh, I mean, well, now I'm like, so Mary, are you team Sean? Oh, okay. Who's the lunatic and who's the fringe?
Mary was team
okay,
Sean.
Okay, and then, of course, who gets the lunatic and who gets the fringe?
Mary was team Sean when she thought that he was cheating with a man.
I would hope that would be your stance.
Well,
I don't know.
Do we think this is an open door for Bronwyn and Whitney?
God, no. God, I hope not. But what I saw someone posted that
Caroline,
photo of Whitney when
Caroline
she had her pixie
said,
cut.
Caroline
can
said,
I finish what I'm saying, please? My God.
It's actually
you're
good
like,
you stopped
I'll keep
me.
Repeating myself until
it's
you
actually,
shut up.
It's
completely up to
me. It's good you stopped me.
I'm sure it is. Maybe I knew that it was. Someone posted that iconic photo of Whitney where she's like in her booty shorts and a sports bra and her pixie cut. You can see it, right? And she's like smiling, hands on hips. early iPhone photo, and someone wrote, and it's like at Whitney Wild Rose, and someone's like, she is free. Our Wild Rose is free at last.
Whitney's digital footprint is like perfect for the post-divorcee meme.
And she's like, what's funny about it? Like, that's her whole, she's like, you guys are posting it, I look amazing, that's why it's still up. Like,
she's
would have archived that if there was anything embarrassing there.
Not the season that we're gonna get this upcoming fall, but next fall she's gonna start looking like pink.
She is 100%. I am interested to see her trajectory here. Where do we go from this place? I have ideas, but I'll wait for her to let me know. And then wasn't there another one? Another breakup? I swear there was.
Angie,
Sean,
Kristen,
Whitney, Justin, Kristen, Luke, Nicolandria. That might be it. I mean, that's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot of breakups. It's a lot of significant breakups.
Mercury in retrograde ends like today or tomorrow.
They all get back together.
Imagine next week. They're all back together.
No, this Mercury retrograde hit me real hard. It kind of got in my shit and got on my shit list. But now it's over and I'm ready to live my best life and be my best self. So thanks. Thanks for trying to bury me 6 feet under in the ground. But I'm like Allison De Laurentiis, and I'll claw my way out. Thank you very much.
Maddie, watching Pretty Little Liars last night, goes, wait, how many people were buried in the front lawn?
I was like, more than two.
Mm-hmm.
More than there should have been. More than in most. I would say more than the average. I would say it skews the average. A little bit. Oh, my God. Anyway. All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say before we...
I just want to say tomorrow thing. I'm having my freaking day with the Greeks. I'm going to see Hades Town and then I'm going to see the Odyssey again.
Wow. Nice. Good for you. Tomorrow I am working and then I'm getting my nails done. And then I'm helping somebody write some essays for college. And then I'm going to Frozen. And then while Frozen's happening, I think I'm going to go to Big Fish rehearsal.
Fun.
So it's a light day for me.
Wait.
Just kidding.
For me. I'm coming.
Wait.
I'm coming.
How's it go?
The end of that song, like Caroline, it's so to hear that in a theater, I can't.
Yeah. I need to ask Clyde for his kid. He did it with his kids. I need to ask him for a tape. I know. Oh my God. I spoke to someone yesterday who saw Alan Cumming in Traitors on Broadway. I mean, Alan Cumming in Cabaret on Broadway. Like way back when, obviously. But she saw it. And I was like, okay. Wish you didn't tell me that because now, unfortunately, there is a drone and it is aimed straight for your head. Coming from Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, great. Phoebe's trying to eradicate anybody who had that experience instead of her. But what I found interesting is that one of my students gave me two Alan Cumming Broadway trading cards, and I offered Phoebe one of them. She denied. So I'm like, it's giving
take. Did you offer me one?
Yeah. And you're like, I'm good. You keep it. I was like, I don't need two. You're like, I'm good.
I was
like, okay, massive bitch in the car, massive bitch in the car.
I don't even recollect
what else is new. Okay. Okay, jump out. Okay, jump out like Lady Bird.
Caroline's driving down the hill of our childhood home.
I'm going fast. I'm like, I open the door. I somehow open the door. I'm like, get out.
I still think
I'm not
if
stopping.
They,
I don't have time.
I know they just revived Cabaret, but if they were to do it again in the next like 5 to 7 years, Alan Cumming could do it again. Easy.
Yeah, but they're not going to. He would if he wanted to do it. He would have done this. And that's true.
But this one was so different.
Yeah, I know. But I don't think he would do it again.
He said he has. He would. Caroline.
When was that?
In an interview where he was reviewing it. I'll send it to you. There's a he did one of those Vanity Fair where he like goes through his roles from the past. And he said he would do the MC again.
It's me doing his face.
Luke-ly.
Who say, so sweet, so enchanté. Happy to see you. Bleibe leste. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome.
This is the best part.
I am cabaret to cabaret, oh cabaret. Do you feel good? I feel fucking hot.
You do. I love when he goes, ladies
and gentlemen. That's my favorite part. Ladies and gentlemen.
She's so disappointed they're there.
It's. I think he's flirting. Ladies.
Oh, you think?
And gentlemen.
Wait, yeah. I always think he's saying it like disgusted.
This is Rosie. We call her that because her cheeks are so red. I was Rosie.
Of course.
Hi, I'm your host. Und sagen willkommen. Bienvenue, welcome. So good. I love his inflection. I am your host.
He's so
I just
good.
Love it.
It's perfect.
And the way he...
Oh, he's so good.
It's so good. All right. Well, that seems
note.
Like the perfect way to end this. Guys, thank
episodes?
You so much for listening.
How
and don't
episodes?
Forget... I'm cabaret, cabaret, to cabaret.
How many episodes have ended exactly like this?
Each and every one, a virgin.
Don't All believe right. me?
Just ask Rosie. What is it?
Don't believe me. I think it's
see
like try. Yeah, like, yeah, see for yourself.
See for yourself.
Tonight, yeah, we'll lose a button.
What?
That's what he says. Tonight we'll lose a button.
Oh, it's so good. And next time we start the podcast, I'm doing this. Welcome back to your one and only source, and we are your hosts, Sagan. And then that's what we do. All right, thank you so much for listening. Leave us a review and comment and tell us what you love about us and give me something to freaking talk about on the Caroline Show. Love you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye. And see you next week.
Bye.